Last week, we started in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we started in verse 1, and we're going to back up just a little bit to remind ourselves, so I can finish this message that we have done on the differences between Peter and the disciples, and the message and the doctrine that they had, and the message that the Apostle Paul had, knowing that they preached different things. And two things that are different, we've heard Steve say over and over, two things that are different just can't be the same. And so that, the Bible's very clear about that. You know, a lot of people, I want to encourage you to open your Word. Notice what words say. And that the Bible says, what the Bible says is exactly what it means. A lot of people today really struggle in studying the Word. A lot of times it's the way that we've been raised. A lot of times we start and we just close it and we say we can't make any sense out of it. And a lot of times people give up. But the Word of God is not that hard to understand when rightly divided. If I can understand it, I can assure you, you can understand it. Although it takes many years of studying to know it more in depth. And our faith becomes stronger by reading the Word. Your faith becomes stronger by reading the Word and knowing the faith of Christ and where our faith and our hope comes from. So I encourage you, you know, open your Word rightly divided. As we know, this church is very clear on what we believe and our doctrine. We know that that all the Bible is for us, but not all of the Bible speaks directly to us. We are also very clear that the Apostle Paul was the pattern. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 shares, howbeit that all may have eternal life. And tell you what, let's just turn to that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16, the Word of God says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all. That all is everybody. He might show forth all long-suffering. For a pattern. Now, the Apostle Paul says that in me first. Okay? That all. Okay? So, if he is the pattern, that's by where we go to. Right? That's by what we measure for our doctrine for today. And he says, for all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to what? To everlasting life. Well, if Paul is the pattern, and Peter and the other disciples had the same message that Paul had, why would Paul be the pattern that in him first, from that point on, okay, if you'll notice, for a pattern to them which should hereafter, that means after Paul, okay, have eternal life, have everlasting life. Paul is the pattern to when the Bible speaks directly to us in Paul's letters from Romans to Philemon. We know that those are the letters that Paul wrote. So I encourage you, as you open your Word and you study and you read your Word, that you would consider those things that are written for you, those things that are written directly to you. Your Word will become a lot easier to understand. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read a couple of verses today. We read 1 through 7 last week. But we really touched on some things. And look at verse 1 and then we'll read... I'll tell you what, we're just going to read it because it speaks so clearly. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now this is the Apostle Paul sharing this for these people to know what to look for. He says, in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, if you read that, you can look out in the world like we said last week. You can see people that are just like that. And I knew growing up in church, every week I would go into church and I would hear these things and I think, well, I'm at church, so Paul's talking about those people who don't love God or who aren't saved. or who you know, Paul is speaking to the body of Christ in this letter, and he's telling them what to look for. And what is Paul always defending? He's defending his gospel. Was he defending his gospel to those that were out in the world that were your drunks and your people that were causing havoc, people that were going against everything? No. Paul was always defending the gospel against religious people. Paul was defending the gospel. So Paul is talking about those who have a look about them. You know, let's think of exactly when Christ walked the earth. Who did Christ go up against more than anything? It was those who were high-minded, those who were the followers of the law, those who were so caught up in their law that they didn't even recognize Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that He was their King. He was always going against those that were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. Who are the very ones that crucified Him? I mean, think about it. And Paul is talking about these same religious people. Can I tell you what? It's the same way today. I want you to think about the way churches or buildings are today, okay, that claim to share the truth of the gospel. Look at it again. Look at verse 5 first. Having a form of godliness. Now, do you think Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about those that have nothing to do with church? No. Having what? A form of godliness. And you can walk in today and you can see people and the persona they want to give and how they have titles. How they have, well, this is this and this is that. And that's one thing I never want to get involved in again as long as I am pastoring a church, is the titles or they're over this or they're over that game or the committees. I'll tell you what, as long as you go here, there won't be committees. Now, there are certain people that can do certain things better than others. You don't want me building anything. Okay, you don't want me fixing. I mean, that's, you know, let's be reasonable. There's some things that we have talents at doing that others aren't talented. They didn't grow up knowing how to do. You know, I can sell cars, but don't ever ask me to fix one. It won't be good. You know, well, it's the same way in as the body, this body of this assembly here. There's some that can do things, but that's not the form of godliness I'm talking about. I'm talking about the form of godliness where it's titles and committees. And they get more glory than God gets Himself for the committee. They get more applause than what God gets. Just look to that. Watch your TV set and watch the churches today and what they bring glory to. What they bring applause to. But yet we've grown up to think we have a form of godliness. That's what Paul's not talking about the people out in the world today that aren't in church. He's talking about the people who are caught up in religion. Okay, does that make sense? So look at it. Having verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay, the power thereof would be what? We're established how? Not by speaking in tongues, not by miracles. Not by how much we give, not by how often you're here, but it's through the, we're established through the Word of God. That's the power of God, is what you know. It's studying. It's knowing the Word. That's the power thereof, the power that is in me. Not anything that's physical, you know. But it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, the Apostle Paul says, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now, what was the Apostle Paul dealing with? He was dealing with, there were assemblies. As he went into these areas and he would leave, he would write letters to Timothy, and he'd write letters to those of Galatia that knew the truth. He'd write letters to those in Corinth, because he would go through this area and he would start these small assemblies. And there were those who were so full of the law that wanted people to follow what they did. If you study Galatia, the whole issue, that letter is the whole issue, is that they finally knew the truth, that these Gentiles had saw that it was all about what Christ did, that it was not of works. And these Judaizers were coming into these assemblies, And they had this form of godliness, and they started sharing other things that they needed to do. And so therefore, they would become confused because they wouldn't turn away from them. And the next thing you know, they were starting to lead these assemblies. And they were bringing in the old law, those things that Peter and the disciples shared. And they were bringing those things in like as they were Israel. And they were telling them what they needed to do. And so this is what Paul's saying, look out. Because that's going to happen. It's a power thing. But he says, look, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't ever get it. He says, Paul says, and now Paul wasn't talking about those that weren't coming to the assemblies. He's talking about those very ones that were coming into the assemblies. That's why when I stand up here and I preach the Word of God and what God's Word says, that you better make sure that what I share is the truth. As you go to Bible studies in the mornings, you better make sure that these teachers are sharing the truth. Because that's the problem that you're going to run into. So, sounds like a lot today, especially verse 5 where it says, having a form of godliness. If you've been in church any length of time at all, there are a lot of people that stand behind the pulpit. There are a lot of people that greet you. There's a lot of people that walk up to take up the money. And I'm telling you what, buddy, they just have what we have put in our mind as a form of godliness because we have given them applause off of the edges. And that's exactly what goes on today when the issue and the power of God is through His Word. And that's how we're established. So we had shared that. And today, many today believe that Paul preached the same as Peter and the other disciples, but it's clear that they didn't. Peter and Paul's message were not the same. Romans 16:25 we shared. Now to him that is of power, there's that power. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Do you see how personal it is? Paul doesn't say according to our gospel. Paul says according to my gospel. Why? He was the pattern. Okay? It was in him first. Something had changed. And we know that it was a difference in Israel. Okay? And we know that it was a difference in the body of Christ. We know that Israel is times past and things to come. And we know today that Paul was given the dispensation, how God deals with man in this age of grace, and that it was by grace and grace alone. And so we see that the Apostle Paul shares in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, he makes that so personal, okay, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It wasn't that, oh, we got to worship Paul now. Oh, Paul is the one to follow now. Who does he give the credit to? Paul was just the pattern. It was given to Paul as a revelation, as a mystery, as a secret that was hidden before the world ever began. And we'll read that. But he says, according to my gospel, his good news. Gospel just means good news, okay? And the preaching of who? Of Jesus Christ. Not the preaching of Paul, because Paul spoke what the Holy Spirit gave him to speak. Right? According to the revelation of the mystery. Well, if it was a mystery, and it was in Paul first, okay, then evidently Peter and the other disciples never had it. Or it would have never been a mystery, would it? Okay? And so these are things that I know you know, but we need to be reminded of. Next it says, which was kept secret. Those things that are secret are things you don't know. Which was kept secret since the world began. Now, I know Christ walked the earth. I know the disciples followed Jesus. And I know they followed the commandments and the statutes. And when they did it, they sought and they sacrificed animals. And they sought for forgiveness. And they sought for their sins to go into remission. I know they were baptized. I know they were circumcised. I know they did those things. The disciples and those that followed Jesus on the earth did those things. But if there was something that was hidden since the world began, and Paul was the pattern, it was according to the My Gospel of Paul, to Jesus Christ, something had to change. Something had to be different. It's clear. Or the Bible doesn't mean what it says. And so we know by this that the gospel that Christ shared as He walked this earth, that good news that the kingdom was at hand, if all of Israel would have believed, He would have set His kingdom up, is different than the gospel that was according to Paul and the pattern that he had for hereafter for all to have eternal life. Right? Or to have everlasting life. Because it was hidden. It was given to Paul. It was hidden. He called it a revelation of a mystery, a secret. Those things that were kept secret since the world began. How do you bring all that together and say there was only one gospel? How do you hold your word up and say that this is the gospel? There are many gospels. There was a lot of good news. And there was one good news that was for the kingdom, for Israel. And there was another good news that was given to Paul as the pattern by which we today are saved today. Peter and Paul did not share the same gospel. And if you put them all together, then you'll be totally confused. And if you're following what was given to Peter, then you have to take away that which was given to Paul. And he was the last one that was given the revelation of the mystery. He was the last one that was given the message to his gospel. I'll give you an example. I didn't mean to go here right off the bat, but let's just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. Now, the Apostle Paul was the last to receive any message. And look what he says. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Hey, they didn't add a thing to him. Not a bit. Look at chapter 11 and look at verse 22. Where he's defending this gospel. Because those are saying, well, you can't do this. Look what he says. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. We know how Paul was raised. We know that he was raised as a Jew. We know that. Paul was the follower of the law. And so much so, he was killing people who did believe Jesus was the Messiah. He was Saul. He didn't become Paul until after Acts chapter 9. Where he received this revelation of the mystery. And he says, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. What's the next three words? I am more. Now, if you don't believe that, there are people today, there are denominations today and doctors today that thought Paul was just a fool. That Paul's writings, that he was crazy. There are denominations and doctrines today that will teach you Paul's letters are not important. Well, if all the Word is for us, and it's for correction, for reproof, it's for our doctrine, and Paul says here that I am more, I mean, something's amiss here. Okay? Paul's letters are extremely important for you today. Okay? Extremely important. He says, in labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measures. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. And we go to that where they stoned Paul and they drug him out as he was dead. You know, and where was he caught up? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And this is the Apostle Paul. He says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now this happened. They wanted Paul dead. And he didn't know whether he was dead, or whether he was in a vision, or what. But he says, God knows, and look what he says. Such a one called up to the third heaven. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You think he wants you to understand what he's saying? He said it twice. Okay, he wants to be clear. You know, he says, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine affirmities. He was thankful for all that he went through to give you to be the pattern, to give you this message, these things that were hidden, those things that were kept secret since the world began. Those things that Peter, James, John, and the other disciples never had a clue about. Because they were always looking for a kingdom to come from heaven to earth. You don't ever see them where they talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about going to heaven. They always talk about heaven coming to here. What does the Apostle Paul talk about? All our blessings are where? In heavenly places. We are where? In Christ, in heaven. I mean, they talk about totally different things. We look for heaven. They look to heaven to come down. So the messages, the Gospels were different. And those are the things that were talked about. Now, notice in Romans 16:25 it says, it was kept secret since the world began. So let's think about this. We talked about last week, from Genesis chapter 1, when the world began, okay, to all the way to Acts 9, to where Paul was changed and was given a revelation of the mystery. All of those things are things that Paul never preached as a gospel. They were kept hidden. Nobody knew about it. Even in prophecy, you would see things that would happen, and it would say they didn't have an understanding. I'll tell you what, in Romans chapter 16 again, let's look at verse 25 and let's finish it with verse 26. I really didn't mean to go through all this, but it needs to be. We need to understand it. This needs to be understood. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Those things even that the prophets wrote, they had no understanding of. They were hidden and did not have an understanding of. It was kept secret. Now, I'm going to have to hurry if I want to get through. But some things are just very important. We talked about last week how Peter didn't know about Calvary's cross. In fact, he rebuked Christ when he said what he was going to do. Remember? Now, not only that, his goal was to prevent the cross. Okay? Peter and Paul did not teach the same message then, because what did Paul glory in? The cross. Okay? We read in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 we read, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul continued to defend this gospel that was given to him. Continued to do that. Okay? Those things are important for us to know. We also know that it was definitely different, because in Galatians, turn to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 6. Galatians 2, look at verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." Okay, added nothing to him. "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel, the good news of the uncircumcision, was committed unto me as the good news, the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. If they preached the same thing, why did it matter who they went to? Okay? Paul never got it from them. I tell you what, go to chapter 1 of Galatians. Very important scripture here, if it's the same. Verse 11 says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." He didn't get it from anybody else. It was a revelation of the mystery. It was a pattern that was given to Paul through Christ. Notice, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation," that's how he lived his life, the way he lived, "in time past, in the Jews," what's the word? Religion, okay? "In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Okay? Those disciples, those who followed Christ and believed that He was the Messiah, those who repented and were baptized, those who changed their mind that Jesus was the Christ. He persecuted that. Okay? Verse 14. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Those who have... He used to be that one that had what? A form of what? Godliness. Okay? That's who he used to be. Okay? Now look at verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." Now, when I first read this, I didn't mean to go this way, David. This is something that Hogue called me the other day and asked me this question. You know what? When it pleased God, He separated Paul. When did He do that? In his mother's womb? We've always heard the preachers teach, well, he was separated in his mother's womb. You know, and I always thought, that's wild. You know when Paul was separated from his mother's womb, from who his mother was? In Acts 9. In Acts 9. He was no longer going to be that of that form of godliness. He says, when did God do it? When it pleased God. When did He do it? In Acts chapter 9. And notice what he says. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." He separated him from being Israel. For being that of following the law. It came from who? From his mother. From who he was as Israel. Does it make sense? Verse 16. "What for? To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." He was separated. He was called by grace. "That I might preach among the heathen," that's the Gentiles, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He didn't change and then go see the disciples. He didn't run to Jerusalem to tell Peter, James, and John that he believed exactly like they did he? He didn't run to get their message so he could share it with everybody else, because their good news was gone. Their good news, they had a flock. Their good news was the things that were to come later, because Israel had blasphemed. And there was another good news. There was another gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul, that he would be the pattern, and it had been hidden since the world began, that was given to Paul. Those things were different. And so, what happens? Look what he says in verse 17. "Neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Then after 3 years. After 3 years. You got to understand, Paul was as zealous as anybody. We just read how he had learned it all. That he was one full of religion. How long do you think it'd take to get out of him? 3 years. Celeste and I were talking this morning how she was brought up and how she was raised and what she learned, and that you got to be gentle and you got to be tender when you share this. Why? Because for years of my life, I was duped into a doctrine, just as you have been too. And you're not going to get over it, you know, in a week. when you hear that there's a different gospel, and you've been raised one way all your life, you're not going to get past that. You don't think it took Paul some time? Even though Christ was with him, Christ showed him this mystery that had been hidden. And I'll tell you what, when I realized that Paul's letters were different than that of any other letters, and that he was given a mystery by which he was the pattern that you should have everlasting life, it took me some time. It took me some time. I tell you, I can remember eating lunch with Steve Atwood at Grace Bible Church. I mean, every week I had questions. Every week I was like, I got you now, sucker. That's how I felt. I mean, okay, how are you going to answer this? And I would walk away. I'd be mad some days. I'd be overjoyed some days until I started realizing and knew it was truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free. And realize I had never been set free to know this great gospel until I started seeing the truth myself and started studying it myself. And that form of godliness that I always tried to have, I realized wasn't worth anything because it didn't do a thing for me. And I'll tell you what, I've never been so free in my life. You have to follow those letters that were given to Paul. Does that mean that Genesis and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jeremiah and Psalms are not great books? They're great books. And we can profit from knowing those books to see where we are today. But it's not your mail. Your mail is Paul's letters if he was the pattern.